Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So, are you happy? What makes you happy? Americans and Western cultures tend to think that wealth is key to happiness, but is it? The tiny Himalayan nation of Bhutan thinks not, and instead of just looking at gross national product, the government there also looks at gross national happiness. Bhutan is the subject of this year's Smithsonian Folklife Festival in Washington. We're taking the opportunity to discuss Bhutan and happiness with Preston Scott, one of the festival's curators, and with Kinley Dorji, the editor-in-chief of Kunsul, Bhutan's first newspaper, who's in the U.S. for the exhibition. Disclosure, Kinley and I were night fellows together last year at Stanford University, and I was lucky enough to go to Bhutan earlier this year to train political reporters for that nation's first national elections. Good morning, Kinley. Good morning, Peter.
Hello, Andrea.
I'd also like to give out the phone line, 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729, if you want to talk about happiness. But before we talk about gross national happiness, Peter, tell us, why did you pick Bhutan for this exhibit? Excuse me, Preston. Preston Scott, are you there? Okay, I think that we have lost Preston Scott temporarily. So,
no,
Kinley,
I'm here.
Oh, you're here. Okay.
Yes, I am.
Can you tell us why did you pick Bhutan for the exhibition this year?
Well, for a couple of reasons. I've been working in Bhutan for the last 10 years, and I've always been struck by how Bhutan has taken such a remarkably centrist path to development, which they refer to as gross national happiness. And it just seemed to me in 2008 when they were referring to it from an absolute monarchy to a constitutional democracy, and some of the environmental issues that they have been pioneering, it was a wonderfully appropriate time to share their culture and outlook on life with the people of America.
Tell us about your Folklife Festival. How does it work? And if people want to go down there, what would they see?
Well, this is the 42nd year the Smithsonian has hosted the Folklife Festival. It started in the late 1960s. Under the leadership of one of our visionary secretaries from the Smithsonian. And the idea was to offer the people what he described as a museum without walls. The Smithsonian, of course, is the world's largest museum complex, have absolutely outstanding exhibitions inside. But the idea was to offer an experiential exhibition each year that would celebrate a state, and then as the festival evolved, a nation, and something else. And this year we have Bhutan is the only country that's being celebrated. We have music and food from the state of Texas, and we have a really remarkable third program, which is a human experience in outer space, celebrating NASA's 50th year.
Kinley Dorji, what is gross national happiness, and how is it measured?
The concept, I think, first came into, well, it was inspired by what Bhutan saw happening around the world. You know, Bhutan has been a hidden land for centuries, and when Bhutan opened up to the world in 1961 specifically, we looked around and saw that the world was interpreting human development as purely economic development. And we looked around and we said, that's a problem, that's not enough, that's wrong, that human development must have a higher goal, like happiness. And gross national happiness therefore became the, you know, the responsibility of the state to create an environment where citizens could pursue happiness. Because in Buddhism, we believe that happiness lies within you, not and there's no external source of happiness. So the government therefore needs to create the right environment for citizens to find happiness.
And how, what is defined as happiness, and how is it measured?
I think this definition is quite the key issue. But here, I think we see happiness defined, happiness related to material well-being, whereas for us, it's really contentment. In terms of measuring, Bhutanese didn't think it needed to be measured, but with the, you know, with growing international interest, people did ask this, I mean, challenged us, in fact, to measure happiness. So the answer, I think, is that this concept comes from Buddhism, where we believe that suffering cannot be separated from the causes of suffering. Therefore, happiness cannot be separated from the causes of happiness. And we have defined causes of happiness like the environment, culture, economic development, good governance, areas that can be measured.
Preston Scott?
Yes, could I add just an additional thought from an American perspective? At the festival this year, it's wonderful that it's occurring over the July 4th holiday because it will provide a wonderful opportunity from the Bhutanese experience that people have on the mall and learning about the Bhutanese approach to GNH, gross national happiness, to be reminded that in our own Declaration of Independence 200 and some years ago, Thomas Jefferson said the three legitimate aims of government were the protection of life, liberty, and what's the third one? The pursuit of happiness. And it's interesting to me, I'm a Virginian, University of Virginia, which Jefferson founded, it's my school, but it's very interesting to me that Jefferson took the initial proposal for that concept, which was life, liberty, and the protection of property. And he saw that protection of property was too narrow, and I want to echo and reinforce what Kenley's saying, because, again, our own country was founded on something much broader than that, and it's really an ancient tradition going back to thinking deliberately about what is a good society, and that's something our founders did 200 and some years ago. I think it's time for us to rethink that question today, given our country's troubled times, and I think that the tiny nation of Bhutan, they're not here to proselytize or preach, but I do think some of the innovative, creative, bold things that they are doing are particularly timely for our country.
My guests are Preston Scott, a curator of the 2008 Folklife Festival at the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, and Kinley Dorji, the editor-in-chief of the Bhutanese newspaper Kuncal. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. Phone number here is 646-778-3729 if you want to talk about what makes you happy. If it's something then other than wealth, let us know, or if it's wealth indeed, 646-778-3729. Are there times in your life when you've been happier? What has made you happier? Kinley, are there specific things that you can point to as causing happiness or creating the opportunity for happiness in Bhutan?
Well, in a broader national sense, we are looking at, the traditional concepts of development like schools, roads, environment is very, very important in Bhutan. Culture is very important, culture leading to cultural identity. We are also now doing, we're doing a more sophisticated survey now looking at, say, the 24 hours a day in the life of a person, how many hours the person sleeps, how much leisure time, basically stress, how much time for spiritual practice, to find new indicators to measure this a contentment or peaceful existence.
Yeah. No,
Andrea,
no,
I'd like to add, too, if I can. I think Kinley and I both share the view that Bhutan is hardly a perfect place. And it has many challenges ahead. But when you ask about some of the indicators or measurements, Bhutan is remarkably free of violence and crime compared to societies in the industrialized world, for example. And I point to that one as an indicator of again doing something right. It's rooted often in Buddhism, much of these indicators. But that's another one that's quite measurable in terms of the remarkable absence of violence and violent crime in particular in Bhutan.
Now, one study actually found, Kinley Dorji, that there was an inverse relationship in the U.S. between wealth and happiness. Can you tell us what that's about?
I think it's a question of needing less rather than wanting more. And this is what as society is consumed by, by material wants. That's, I think, the basis of the inverse trend taking place.
Let's take some calls. Let's go to Josh from Manhattan. The number is 646-778-3729. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. Good morning, Josh. You're on WNYC.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question was for Kinley and I think Peter.
Preston.
Prescott, I'm sorry.
No
how
worries.
Do you guys think that you can apply the ideas of gross national happiness to a society like America, which is much, much larger and much more diverse?
I think, first of all, like Preston said earlier, Bhutan is not preaching gross national happiness, but trying to make it work back home. I think this is the key, that the difference, like Preston said, the Jefferson's concept and gross national happiness both give human development a higher goal. But in Bhutan, the government has made it a real, goal, day-to-day goal for its annual development plans, its five-year development plans. the priority, the allocation of the budget is based on the gross national happiness priorities like environment, culture. So it has to be that effort, the consistent effort, I think, has to be made by government, first of all, and the people have to be aware of it.
I'd like to add that the what I'd like to stress or see happen in our country is, again, a rethinking of our first principles and ask ourselves, what kind of society do we want for our people? At that basic fundamental level, America is a mind-blowing, complex place. But when that kind of thoughtful process takes place, not just what's good for me, but what's good for my community, if we can reinstill that sense of questioning and thoughtfulness in our public debate, I think at least we'll be making some renewed steps in the right direction.
Kinley Dorje, we've had an interesting confluence of events in New York this week. We have had the announcement of the budget. We were just talking about that, with all kinds of cuts and gloom and doom. We also had the unveiling of a public art exhibit all around the city of waterfalls, including one under the Brooklyn Bridge and around Lower Manhattan, which are 10-story high waterfalls. People can go see them all summer. Do you think that is along the lines of what you're talking about, sort of creating something that may not be a material good for the people of New York, but may just make them happy?
Yes, I mean, to me, immediately, my first thought would be that this falls under the importance of culture and cultural identity, and also a reminder that GDP is not the goal. It should not be the goal in life.
Let's talk to Jessica from Maplewood, New Jersey. Hi, Jessica. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you? I personally believe that volunteerism is very important. Volunteering for for your church or for a cause that you believe in. It by helping other people, it makes you happy. I personally don't believe that money is the key to happiness. And basically, I've actually changed careers. A retail management position to, volunteering and helping people. And I've learned a lot in this last year from doing that.
So, and you're happier now?
I'm happier now.
Maybe a little poorer, but happier?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for your call, Jessica. Kinley Dorje, your country recently had its first elections. Is that something that the hope is will increase happiness in Bhutan?
Well, that's a part of the overall Gross National Happiness Master Plan. Because to measure gross national happiness at the national level in development terms, we have the four pillars, which are environment, culture, economic development, and good governance. And this is good governance. And the perspective here is that we have introduced democracy, but not for the sake of democracy, but as a path to good governance. And good governance is one of the pillars of gross national happiness. So this really gives us a crystal clear view of where we are going. It's going to be difficult, but we at least have this goal.
This is Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. My guests are Kinley Dorje, the editor-in-chief of the Bhutanese newspaper Kunsel, and Preston T. Scott, a curator of the 2008 Folklife Festival by the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C., which includes this year an exhibit on Bhutan. The phone number here is 646-778-3729. Either one of you, how much does the concept of gross national happiness have to do with Buddhism? And is it something that would come as easily to somebody of another religion?
If I could, it's interesting. The other night I took Kinley down to the Jefferson Memorial after dinner, and it was very late. The sky was beautiful. The moon was up. And he was reading Jefferson's words on the side of the building. And I know Thomas Jefferson did not consider himself a Buddhist. However, Kinley was reading, and he turned to me and said, "Preston, this is very Buddhist." And I can't remember exactly which words, Kinley, if you remember, but I had to smile because I've been struck by the parallels in thought. It's not the labels we give on the thought, but it's the content. And Jefferson was a profound thinker. He cared deeply about getting things right, just like the Bhutanese are doing today. But I was struck by Kinley's observation that he thought some of Jefferson's writings were in fact Buddhist.
Let's go to Tom from Bhutan, New Jersey, as opposed to Bhutan. Tom, hi, you're on WNYC.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to say that I think that there is an economic component to all of this, and that from my perspective, I think that having a certain amount of wealth is an important aspect, but then once you get to a financial goal or a financial level, to be able then to give back. I mean, that's kind of how I'm trying to live my life, and I just figure that is the way I was looking to happiness, because I think the key to happiness is to give back, but you also have to kind of take care of yourself and your family and all of that.
Well, and let me just add, if I may, to your question, Tom. I'm wondering, I mean, if you're very poor, there is a certain level of unhappiness that comes with all of the economic stress of trying to get by. So does there have to be, as Tom suggests, a sort of minimum material level for happiness?
Oh, yes, definitely. That's why socioeconomic development is one of the pillars. And especially in a developing country like Bhutan, we have to have the minimum level of survival. And this, I don't remember the exact figures, but the people must be economically comfortable. But the whole idea is that happiness takes precedence. And earlier, like Preston was saying, when we talk about Buddhism, drawn from Buddhism, I look at Buddhism as a spiritual practice and not as the man-made culture called religion. And there I don't see a difference between any religions. But even volunteerism, the lady talked about volunteerism. I think Bhutanese community or society survived on volunteerism. We lived in a village where everyone played a role. There was the local carpenter, the blacksmith, the builder, the architect. When someone is building a house, everyone will volunteer, come and build a house for you. That's changing, of course, with so-called development. But then, now we have to hire people rather than, you know, look for volunteers or rather than expect your neighbors to come and help.
We have to end it there. Thanks so much, Kinley Dorji, the editor-in-chief of Kunsel, the Bhutanese newspaper, Preston Scott of the Smithsonian Institution in Washington. You can see the exhibit for another, I think, week and a half on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Thanks very much to you both.
Thank you, Andrea.
And
we'll be right back with more happiness.